The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Okay, another fun day in the U.S. of A. Are we having fun yet? Everybody having fun yet? Are we enjoying ourselves? Yes, you can't take that away from me. Thank you, Jesus. It's Friday. TGIF, bro. Right, we say that. Does anybody still say that? I thought this was funny. I just saw a friend post this on Facebook. Welcome back, by the way, Steve Noble here. And if you want to join us in the studio and you're wondering what this picture is behind me, you got to see this. Okay, so if you're just listening on radio or online and you're not on Facebook Live or YouTube Live, you got to jump over into the room, The Steve Noble Show, N-O-B-L-E, here on Facebook or over on YouTube. And you just got to check it out. You got to see the picture behind me on the big screen behind me, because it's a large man, a well dressed man. Looks like he just came down from a plane, and he's talking to a military guy. This particular military guy is in the country of Philippines. So this was our Secretary of Defense, who you'd like to think, and at some level would project a seriousness and professionalism and, yes, strength. But in this case, he bounds down off the U.S. plane in the Philippines wearing not only a mask, but a face shield as well. Like he's getting ready to walk into World War Z, a zombie fight somewhere around the world. And so I posted that earlier today on Facebook, and I was like, wow, take a look at that. And then a friend on Facebook pushed back. I was like, hey, listen, that's the rule in the Philippines. To which I said, okay, we're still the United States of America. We're still supposed to be the bastion of quote-unquote freedom around the world, right? And so should we look strong? Yes. And so who cares if we don't? Well, that's probably not a great signal to send to our quote-unquote enemies. We still have some of those. I know some of you don't like to think like that, but we do. So Russia, China, Iran, see, our Secretary of Defense, the civilian that's on top of the Defense Department, all masked up and got the big face shield on and everything, and I'm like, that looks ridiculous. So, and weak and petty and virtue signaling. And why not say to the president of the Philippines, okay, I appreciate you guys have your laws, you have your rules, that's fine. But I'm the Secretary of Defense of the United States of America. I'm not going to bound down off the plane and come down and talk to your folks wearing a mask and a face shield because I'll look like a wimp, given my situation, given my job. And so we got two options here, sir, because after all, everybody, it's just the Philippines. We have two options. Either I'm not complying or let's just reschedule because I'm not going to be on the world stage looking like this. However, what's more important than our position in the world is the position of the Biden administration and virtue signaling and trying to continue the game, whatever the game is these days. So this was kind of funny. This on Facebook, I'm trying to be a little jovial, a little lighter today, even though it's snarky Friday. 1.6 billion disposable masks entered our oceans in 2020 alone. This equates to roughly 5,500 tons of plastic pollution. So we're allegedly saving ourselves, but we're killing all the fish. 1.6 billion disposable masks entered the ocean. And where's Greenpeace? Where are all the environmentalists on this one? Nowhere. Disposable COVID-19 masks are expected to take more than 450 years to decompose. Please, Jesus, come back before then. They break up into microplastics, endangering the very precious marine wildlife around the globe. Well, that's all right. Who cares? Right? Is that what you're supposed to do there? I don't know. It's ridiculous. Anyway, a lot of different things, a lot of different roads to go down today. And I'm going to leave that picture right on the screen so you can see what strength doesn't look like. And I mentioned the other day, and I wanted to take you through this because I think this is very important. And it's a way to praise the Lord for the way he made the human body. So I want to go through this story, and it's relative to India. That's actually what we titled the show today, Moving to India. Because India, I don't think they meant to see this happen, but this is what's happened. And I think it's very important for the rest of us to understand, because this does point to a creator who created the body with an immune system that was capable of learning and then protecting. Imagine that. Isn't that supposed to be what we're all after anyway? Learning and protecting. Okay, so here it is. This is from CNBC a week ago. After being ravaged by the Delta COVID variant, how's India doing now? CNBC, July 23rd. The Delta variant was first detected in India last October. That's where it came from. And it led to a massive second wave of COVID-19 cases in the country. Since then, the highly infectious strain has spread globally. And I've got another story about that. Indeed, the Delta variant now makes up 83% of all sequenced cases in the U.S., the director of the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention said Tuesday, marking a dramatic rise from 50% the week of July 3rd. WHO, why do we even care, has already warned that based on the estimated transmission advantage of the Delta variant, it's expected that it will rapidly outcompete other variants and become the dominant circulating lineage over the coming months. But back to our friends in India, what of India? Where the Delta variant first emerged in October. So what's going on in India? The situation is still bad, data shows. That's subjective, so hold on. But not as bad as it was when the second wave peaked in the country, when daily new cases were more than 400,000, which is huge, right? But India, a billion people, okay? 400,000 daily new cases. On May 7th, India reported a staggering 414,000 new infections and several thousand deaths. I think we would all agree that's bad. Right? That's not good. That's bad. And terrible. Okay. Fortunately, cases have declined significantly since then. Why, do you think? That's the question, friend. Why have cases declined since May 7th when they had their peak? This is the Delta variant in India. On Thursday, India reported last week 41,000 new coronavirus infections and 507 new deaths, the Indian Health Ministry tweeted. That, if you do the quick math, not Common Core, just regular math, that's about a 90% drop. So praise the Lord. That's great. And we can praise the Lord in this story because of what appears to be going on to create a 90% drop when we don't do what the government says and we actually take a little risk, air quotes, and believe in what God has done with the human body. 90% drop. How did that happen? And what does that mean for the rest of us? We'll talk about that and several other things, and I'll try to keep it upbeat here today on the show. We'll be right back.
There's a man going around taking names.
It's not
Fauci. And he decides who to free and who to blame.
It's not Joe Biden.
Everybody won't be treated all the same.
It's not exactly woke.
There'll be a golden letter reaching down.
Oh, a golden letter. There you go. The Olympics reference.
Comes around.
I think not. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. India, where the Delta variant originated October last year, all the way back in October. So they spiked like crazy in May. Terrible. 414,000 in one day. Like several thousand deaths. But then now it's dropped as of last Thursday, 41,000 new coronavirus infections. Remember, there's a billion people there. And 507 new deaths, dropped by over 90% on both sides. So what's the deal? What's happening there in India? Nonetheless, after the U.S., India has the second highest number of recorded COVID cases in the world, according to Johns Hopkins, with more than 31 million cases and almost 419,000 fatalities. During the first wave of the pandemic, India went into a national lockdown. Okay, listen, this is really important. As the second and much harder wave hit earlier in 2021, however, Prime Minister Narendra Modi resisted pressure to reimpose a national lockdown, handing the responsibility to individual states over whether to reimplement restrictions. Instead, it wasn't nearly as tough second time around, not as much lockdown, okay? Public health experts told the Financial Times in late May that regional lockdowns reduced social interaction and an increasing number of antibodies. Ooh, wait, pause. Check that word. Increasing number of antibodies against COVID among the general population were helping to bring down the infections rate in India. Vaccination. Look how they add this as an aside or an addendum. Vaccinations too have helped to continue the downward trend in cases. So, vaccination is not the primary reason if you're reading this correctly and with good English, good understanding of how English works. Then the primary thing there is they're talking about here is an increasing number of antibodies. Oh yeah, and vaccinations too have helped. Whoa. So what? What's that? What's going on? Exposure to coronavirus during the second wave has been exemplified in the latest data showing the prevalence of antibodies. There it is again, against COVID among the general population. Okay, pause, not to toot my own horn, but I'm going to anyway. Over a year ago, like last probably April or May, in my limited ability to understand all this, I was like, you know what? Here's what I think we should do. Because the survival rate's so high, we brought an atom bomb to a knife fight. We should have isolated and protected the most vulnerable. We should have talked about the general lack of health in America, obesity, gluttony, all the nightmare stuff here, okay? Because we're an incredibly unhealthy country. So if you want to send a virus somewhere and attack a bunch of unhealthy people, US of A, baby, that's where you send it. Because we're super unhealthy, okay? So let's isolate the vulnerable. Sorry, Mr. Cuomo. Isolate the vulnerable. And then let everybody know, hey, you got to be taking better care of yourself. And there's some things you can do here in the meantime. You got to bulk up on vitamin C, bulk up on vitamin D. There's a couple other things out there. And most of us are going to be fine. Some of you, if it starts getting bad, get to the doctor, da 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 da. Because my thought at the time was, let's let it ravage through as much as possible. And thank God the survival rate is so high. And we know who gets it worse. So we're going to really protect the vulnerable. And the rest of us, like I had it in January, get it, you get over it, you get antibodies and your T cells get to work. And then guess what? Welcome to India. But that's not what we did. We chose to trust ourselves, and instead of science, which is really just the revelation of the genius of God, we trusted political science. Follow the political science, not science. Follow the political science, which is what we've been doing. So vaccination, too, have helped to continue the downward trend in cases in India. Exposure to coronavirus during the second wave has been exemplified in the latest data showing the prevalence of antibodies. Now, this is fascinating to me, and I just praise the Lord for it. A National Blood Serum Survey, which tests for antibodies, known as a sero survey, was released on Tuesday. This is a week ago, which showed, listen, drum roll, which showed that 2/3 of India's population have antibodies against COVID. Reuters reported that. Although around 400 million of India's 1.36 billion people do not have antibodies, the survey found. Steve, there's got to be a bunch of people in India that are vaccinated, right? Only if you consider 6.3% of the population as a bunch. They're only 6.3% vaccinated in India, fully vaccinated, 6.3%, versus the United States, which is about 50%. But they're all rocking and rolling with antibodies, which is turning everything around there, but not here. Why? Because we shut down and we did all these other things. And so you couldn't get it. Therefore, you couldn't get antibodies and have T-cell help. And therefore, you can't be India. You have to remain the United States of America. See? See the point? Then you get this. And of course, see the problem with this for the government and those in power, power and control. Just like the abuse wheel we talked about with Joy Forrest from Call to Peace Ministries the other day. Power and control, that's what abuse is all about. If you sit there and go, okay, we got to buckle down. Let's protect the vulnerable. Let's be really smart. Let's bring a knife to a knife fight instead of an atom bomb to a knife fight. And then you're going to get it. Most of you are going to get it. It's not going to be very serious at all. Some of you won't even know you have it. But then you're going to develop antibodies. Let's all praise the Lord for that and move on. No. Because there's no control. There's no power and control in that. Because that's trusting the way we've been designed, and we can't do that. We can only trust the government. First it was Donald Trump, then it's Joe Biden. Got to trust them, okay? Then you get this. This is fascinating to me. Vaccinated people may spread the virus, though rarely, CDC reports. Huh. And yet another unexpected and unwelcome twist in the pandemic. Great opening line. Fully immunized people with so-called breakthrough infections of the Delta variant may spread the virus to others just as easily as unvaccinated people. So aren't you glad you got vaccinated? What? And now you got to put a mask back on. The vaccines remain powerfully effective against severe illness and death. Okay, that's great. and infections in vaccinated people are thought to be comparatively rare. But the revelation follows a series of other findings this week about the Delta variant, all of which have upended scientists' understanding of the coronavirus. There's a way that seems right to men, and in the end, it leads to, what's that, class? Destruction. In the report published on Friday, the agency, just listen to this, a single outbreak in Provincetown, Massachusetts. Have you heard this anywhere? If you watch the mainstream media and just listen to mainstream media podcasts and stuff like that, you haven't. A single outbreak in Provincetown, Massachusetts that quickly mushroomed to nearly 469 cases in the state as of Thursday, three quarters of whom were fully vaccinated. What'd you just say, Steve? You heard me right. 469 cases, almost all of them Delta variant. Three quarters of them were fully vaccinated people. An internal agency document, which was obtained on Thursday night by the New York Times, raised even more harrowing questions about the virus and its trajectory. Taken together, the data gathered by the CDC throw into question the country's plans to return to offices and schools this fall and revive difficult questions about masking, testing, and other precautions that America's hope were behind them, which is why we're talking about Mask 2.0 and everything else. Even the vaccinated carry high virus levels if they become infected, the agency concluded, making it likely they can transmit the virus as often as the unvaccinated. And all what in vaccinated, don't get it, don't get it, get vaccinated, don't get it, don't get it, don't get it. What are you cutting out there? Your body's ability to actually create antibodies along with your T cell ability. Wow. So what do you do? I'm just praise the Lord that I had it already and I've got antibodies and my T cell are working, and I give glory to God for that. All the glory to God. None to Trump, none to Biden, none to the government. All the glory to God, which is the way it should work. But if your kids are at home, you need to wear a mask. I'll tell you that one next. Wow, wow, wow. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Boy, I opened up a can of worms on my kids and my wife's side of the family. Just a little inside baseball about baseball. So there, all of a sudden I looked up in the middle of the show and I had like 26 text messages. I'm like, what? And so they're talking about baseball. And I hate baseball. I'm not a baseball fan at all. I like hot dogs. Okay, so that's about as close as I get. So I came in and just said, I hate baseball. Terrible sport. Yawn. Just to have a little fun. It's kind of the way we play. And so my daughter, who's in the sports marketing world, took issue with that. Baseball is one of the highest grossing sports in the U.S. You're in the minority there, Steve. I said, I'm in the correct camp, minority or not. I beg to differ. Did she sound like my daughter? I beg to differ. A baseball game is probably the most enjoyable game to go to besides the NBA. Just purely from an experience standpoint. This is coming from a data-driven sports marketer, by the way. Don't try and argue with me on it. Yes, no doubt that she's just like her mom. That was a joke. Everybody relax. She's definitely like her dad. Pray for her. And maybe me too as well. Critics slam Biden's surgeon general suggesting vaccinated parents wear masks. It's an alternate reality. Critics slam U.S. Surgeon General Vivek Murthy after he suggested vaccinated parents wear masks, where, sir? At home. To better protect the coronavirus. Better protect whom? Quote, if you happen to have a lot of interaction with folks who are unvaccinated, you know, the ones with the yellow star on their shoulder, with folks who are unvaccinated, let's say you're a parent like me who has young children at home who are not vaccinated, that's a circumstance where we're being extra cautious and wearing that mask, even if you're fully vaccinated. Wearing it outside when you're in indoor public locations is an extra step to protecting those at home. So wear the mask to protect your kids at home, even if you're vaccinated. Although this chance of death for people under 22 is statistically zero, and little kids, almost statistically zero, get seriously ill. So he's saying if you're around those unvaxxed people, wear a mask because then when you come home, and children are neither good carriers nor good distributors of it, it's not a big deal for kids at all. So he's like, yeah, you know, wear the mask out there and probably wear the mask at, probably want you to wear a mask at home too to protect your kids. Let's get to somebody I like. Ron DeSantis. I like Ron DeSantis more every day. I really do. He's not perfect. Nobody is. Praise Jesus is. Not Ron DeSantis, but he's doing some pretty cool stuff. Here we go. This is good. There's a lot of great little quotes in here, a lot of poll quotes from Governor DeSantis. On Friday, today, Florida GOP Governor Ron DeSantis announced he will sign an executive order to issue emergency rules to protect the rights of parents. What is this guy thinking? Leaving the decision of children wearing masks in schools to the children's parents. Wow. Radical. DeSantis, the father of three young children, said at a press conference at a Cape Coral restaurant, "We want to be able to choose and we want to be able to teach our children without our faces covered." On Wednesday, the school board Broward County in Florida defied DeSantis' strong position against mask mandates for school children, deciding it would require masks when school starts next month. Everybody in the school wear masks. We're right back to that, Broward County, and a lot of other places around the country. DeSantis' office informed the Daily Wire, that's the story I'm reading, "We had hoped that all school boards would follow the science and decide to have a normal mask optional school year. It is disappointing that Broward School Board prioritized virtue signaling over parental choice, kids' well-being, and the science. Point number one, the data indicates children face extremely low risk from COVID." That's true. That's following the science rather than the political science. Sorry, Joe. "Moreover, point number two, empirical evidence from schools last year has shown that the existence of a mask mandate is not correlated with the school's COVID-19 rate." Again, follow the science, not the political science. "Many kids, especially those with special needs like hearing loss, autism, and sensory issues, struggle to learn and engage in a classroom setting with masks." Who cares? Who cares about those kids? That's what we're doing. Nobody might be saying that, but that's in effect what we're doing. "Experts have raised concerns about the impact of masks on mental and emotional health." Oh, man. "As well as socialization, speech, and language learning. It's also a concern that masks worn by children for 8 hours a day, taken off and put back on, can harbor potentially harmful bacteria." Again, follow the science, not the political science. I'm adding that. At the press conference on Friday, DeSantis stated, "If you have been listening to some of the murmurs going around, particularly in Washington lately, if you listen to some of the stuff that's being percolated around the CDC, there's a movement to try to impose more restrictions on the American people. And I just want to say, in Florida, there will not be lockdowns. There will be no school closures. There will be no restrictions and no mandates in the state of Florida. Floridians have been, are, and will remain free to choose." Oh, we got to do something about this guy. "What's best for themselves and their families. And we will protect their right to work. We'll protect the right of businesses to operate. And we will protect the right of our kids to attend school in person. And we don't have mandates. We won't. The one issue where we're seeing a potential for a mandate regarding local government is with the forced masking of school children in our upcoming school year. As of today, very few school districts are requiring that. Most of them wisely are saying that it's a parent's decision to make about what's best for their individual kids. But nevertheless," DeSantis said, "we have a lot of pushback from the CDC and others to make every single person, kids, staff, have to wear a mask all day, regardless of their immune status, regardless of the effect it has on their educational experience. And that would be a huge mistake," he said. "One of the things that's frustrating," he went on to say, "is there's no end in sight to what these policies will do. There's no off-ramp. We were told that the off-ramp was vaccination. Now we're told that it's not going to be the case and you're going to have to go back to masking. You have to do the restriction and potentially severe forms of mitigation, which we know will have a devastating impact on so many people's lives and livelihoods and freedoms. So CDC policies, by doing this so ham-handedly, by not looking at things like this Brown study, it really shows a callous disregard for the physical, emotional, and academic well-being of our children. They need to be put first." He concluded, "The question is, shouldn't this be something that the parent is best to evaluate the effect that this would have on their children? Parental rights, Governor DeSantis. What are you, nuts?" Wow. I like this guy. Here's another Ron DeSantis story, since we're at it. Ron DeSantis and 10 other GOP governors pushed SCOTUS, that's the Supreme Court of the United States, to overturn Roe versus Wade. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis and 10 other GOP governors petitioned the Supreme Court Thursday. The group of GOP executives co-signed a brief in the case of Dobbs versus Jackson Women's Health Organization, which centers on a 2018 Mississippi law banning abortions after 15 weeks. The governors pushed the court to uphold Mississippi's abortion ban, as well as to overturn a pair of key Supreme Court rulings. Here's what they wrote. "For too long, the federal government has dived, not just waded, into issues reserved to the states under the Constitution. Although those forays usually come from the political branches, they have, on occasion, come from this court as well. Roe and Casey," talking about Roe versus Wade, "and Casey are quintessential examples of such misadventures. The court should take this opportunity to correct the mistakes in its abortion jurisprudence and recognize that the text and original understanding of the 14th Amendment have nothing to do with abortion. Equal protection, right? What about the baby? Rather than creating a federal constitutional right, the court should leave regulating abortion to the states where the people may act through the democratic process. This court should hold as much and in the process help restore the constitutional but currently disrupted balance between the federal government and the states. That was their statement. Along with DeSantis, 10 other GOP governors signed the brief. Kay Ivey of Alabama, who, by the way, I played that clip the other day. She hammering the unvaccinated down there. Doug Ducey of Arizona, Asa Hutchinson of Arkansas, he's almost out, Brian Kemp of Georgia, Brad Little of Idaho, Kim Reynolds of Iowa, Mike Parson of Missouri, Greg Gianforte of Montana, J. Kevin Stitt of Oklahoma, and Greg Abbott of Texas. That's good. I like that. Good job, guys. Take a stand. I think that's good. This is a great article. I'm going to take you through this whole article, all right, because there's a lot here. What is woke really about by Victor David Davis Hanson? Okay, this is really good. And when I have find a really good article like this, I don't want to just skimp it and grab a couple pull quotes. I'm going to violate good radio rules, and I'm going to take you through the whole thing. Okay, because it's that good, and I want you to hear every single word of it. I'll put a link up to it on Facebook Live as well. Okay, so you can see it there. What is woke really about? Let me just tee it up. And then I'll give you the rest of it when we come back. Most Americans were as indifferent to the unexpected loss of our Olympic women's soccer team as they were once excited about their World Cup win. In between was the team's nonstop politicking, from whining about compensation to virtue signaling their disrespect for the United States. The celebrity face of the team, perennial scold Megan Rapinoe, is going the way of teenage grouch Greta Thunberg, becoming more pinched and scowling the more she is tuned out. BLM co-founder and self-avowed Marxist Patrice Marie Kahn Cullors accused her of corporate grifting to buy four homes, because BLM took in like almost $100 million last year. The last in Topanga Canyon, surrounded by a new $35,000 security fence. Marxism pays well, you know, if you're like at the top. Critical race guru Ibram X. Kendi offers virtual one-hour workshops for $20,000 a pop. $20,000 for an hour workshop. He's franchising woke re-education kits in between bouts of damning capitalism as a catalyst of racism. The woke movement, in other words, is a slicker, more sophisticated, and far more grandiose version of the Al Sharpton, Jesse Jackson corporate shakedown machine. I'll pick it up there when we come back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Just walking you through what is woke really about. Because again, this is where discernment and wisdom are so important, because I can get in a conversation with somebody that wants to talk about being woke, and I can find some things in there that are consistent with a biblical worldview. I can do the same thing with CRT, critical race theory. Oh, you have a general concern for the oppressed and the downtrodden, the minority, the people that are abused, used and abused? So do I. Absolutely, I do. That's close to the heart of God. That's why the gospel exists in the first place, because we are those people from that perspective. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We oppress ourselves. Our sin is the oppressor and our own will. So there's that way for me, you can look at that and go, okay, there's you can find ways into a gospel conversation by finding ways to agree with people that you might not agree with them on 95% of stuff. But if you're really shrewd, you know, like a viper, and then gentle like a dove, you might find yourself in a gospel conversation via talking about woke or CRT that you never expected to have happen. It can happen. It really can. So what is woke really about, by Victor David Hanson? And when I finish this, I'm going to take you through the rest of it. The woke movement, in other words, is a slicker, more sophisticated, and far more grandiose version of the Al Sharpton, Jesse Jackson corporate shakedown cons of the 1990s. Pretty strong statement, isn't it? I think it's pretty accurate right now. By the way, I shared the link for this article and the article about India on the Facebook live feed today, okay? The Steve Noble Show page on Facebook. The latter, at least, were far more honest in leveraging corporate cash with unfounded charges of racism and came without the academic gobbledygook of critical race theory. Our freeways are jammed. Airports are crammed. Labor is short. Huge pent-up consumer demand for essentials and entertainment outpaces supply. Yet, Major League Baseball's recent All-Star game saw record low television viewership, about a fourth of the audience of 40 years ago when there were 100 million fewer Americans. That's a stunning stat, isn't it? The Summer Olympic Games are looking dismal with anemic American viewership. Ditto the reduced interest in the recent NBA playoffs. Professional basketball's crashing ratings followed the downward trajectory of the NFL. Woke sports earn the same public disgust as the accusatory and boring Emmy, Grammy, Oscar, and Tony Awards. That's this phrase out there now. Go woke, go broke. Because there is a pushback going on now. Same thing with COVID. I think that's all great. The pushback. Cable news networks CNN and MSNBC fueled the Russian collusion hoax. They contextualized to excuse the 120 days of summer looting and rioting in 2020, and both cheered on two impeachments as a prelude to their 24/7 woke drumbeat. Their ratings, too, have now dived. Right? Go woke, go broke. Because most Americans don't think like that. Don't believe the mainstream media. Don't believe Twitter, which only represents about 8% of U.S. adults. Just remember that. I did a story on that recently. Read a story. Went through it. When you hear Twitter, 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 just remember, only 8% of adults really use Twitter. And it's plus 47 or plus 43 Democrat. No, it's 20% of adults use Twitter. 8% of Twitter users generate most of the content that gets moved around. And of that content, it's plus 43 or plus 47% Democrat. Plus 47. So it's like 90%+ Democrat. Remember that. When you hear anything from Twitter, you're not getting an accurate picture of Americana on Twitter. You're not. So don't buy it. Never has TV been more politicized, Victor David Hansen writes. Sitcoms, dramas, and commercials are designed more to resonate race and woke messaging than to entertain. So naturally, their dismal TV ratings reflect the expected public boredom when art serves politics. How many times will a disingenuous Dr. Fauci appear on television to swear that he's never sent federal money to the Wuhan Virology Lab for gain-of-function research, or blame his critics for pointing out his gyrating advice on masks, or offer yet another noble lie on herd immunity? In short, Americans are worn out from elite virtue signaling and woke performance art from the critical race theory capitalists, multimillionaire corporate CEOs, revolving door Pentagon brass, Malibu celebrities, and credentialed elite. The problem is not just that most of America is exhausted from being smeared as racist or hearing that a wonderful country, the most free, just, equitable, affluent, and leisured in civilized history, must continually pay penance for its past and present. The public is even more tired of projectionist hypocrisy. Those who scream the loudest are usually the most guilty of woke crimes. For example, he lists a few here. Joe Biden sees a racist under every American bed except his own bigoted son who texts racist slurs about blacks and Asians. Meanwhile, finger-pointing Marxist activists get rich peddling their critical race snake oil. Can we insist that those who scream at us about equity at least not live in mansions worth over $10 million? Yet the woke madness coincides with an epidemic of crises that go largely ignored as the distracted America cannibalizes itself. That is such an accurate phrase. We are cannibalizing ourselves. The border is wide open at a time of a pandemic. 2 million are scheduled to enter America illegally. They barge in without either COVID-19 testing or vaccinations during a coronavirus spike when the government promises to go door to door to roust out American citizens to get vaccinated. But who cares what's happening on the southern border? That's his point. Whiteness is supposedly the cause of America's problems, but our inner cities are suffering historic violent crime waves. Commonplace looting and assault are now daily urban events. By the way, that's something that you can do on Twitter. You can watch citizen videos of this nightmare all the time. You could literally spend 24/7 watching videos of violence. Now, we don't come to each other's aid anymore. We just record it and post it, or just go live. Go live on Amazon, go live on Twitter, go live on Facebook, go live on Instagram, and watch that guy beat the tar out of the other guy. We're cannibalizing ourselves. It's such a great, sad way of putting it. Could not our critical race theory accusers first take time out of their merchandise to address the black-on-black murders and soaring violence among young males in the inner city? No, because that doesn't make any money, Victor. You know that. The Biden administration denies that huge deficit spending and generous cash payments to workers fueled inflation. But a seething public hasn't seen anything like the current price hikes and labor shortages in the last 40 years. The military, CIA, and FBI have lost the confidence of the public, and not just because of their woke politicking. Instead, they're perceived as distracted and ignoring their primary mission of winning wars, catching terrorists before they strike, and offering superb intelligence about our enemies. No. Now we just got to teach CRT, critical race theory, and intersectionality and stuff. A finger-pointing Hollywood movies are increasingly trite, predictable, and boring. Wokeness, he finishes, is many things. But increasingly, it seems a cover for careerism, profiteering, and utter incompetence. What is Woke Really About? By Victor Davis Hanson. He put that out 2 days ago. And were I writing articles like this myself as a Christian, there's some ways that I would not talk, some phrases I would not use. And I struggle to deal with that on the air. And in social media posts, because our emotions can get the best of us. My emotions can get the best of me. And so I just fire away. I shoot first, I ask questions second. And with all the information flying around, we've talked about this before. I'm just reminding all of us of some of this before we hit the weekend, that we have confirmation bias. So you see things that you already agree with, and that's what you share. You push those around because it reinforces your beliefs. It's a way to vent, kind of pound your fist on the table, make your point, right? And so we're not critical thinkers. We've lost a lot of that ability. We're emotional reactors, generally not critical thinkers. And that's got to change. Unfortunately, for most of society, that's the way they are. They just react emotionally. We're not very deep. We're a mile wide. We have 1,000 opinions, but can't back many of them up with facts. We can't make a good argument. Just about anything. We do, and then we just cancel each other. I unfriend you. I stop following you. I ban you. Whatever. I block you. That's what we do. Instead of having to actually think through things and come to a reasonable conclusion. So that's not helping. And then all of this, of course, causing division in the church, which Satan loves. I think he's just pretty much at this point just needs to sit there, kick his feet up, eat some popcorn, drink a cheer wine, and just watch it unfold. And we're a part of that. And we need to love our neighbor well. When I asked the question yesterday, what are some Christian traits that you feel like you really need more of? And people would talk about, I need to be more bold and more courageous. And a lot of people, why do you need to be more bold? Why do you need to be more courageous? Because I need to be able to give people the what for. That's why. Well, for a Christian, boldness and courage, and this is where we're going to run into a problem, is mostly, really, in the context these days, is about the gospel. Oh, yeah, that. The gospel. Because we're not bold and we're not courageous to share the gospel. I don't even think most of us go through your average day or your average week or maybe even your average month asking the Lord, because I don't ask the Lord this every day. I don't know how many times I even ask it in a week. Lord, please lead me to somebody today. Help me encounter somebody today. Help facilitate, Lord, a conversation that I can share the gospel. How often do you pray like that? Or me? I'll never forget, years ago, we used to attend the Summit Church here in Raleigh, and J.D. Greer, the pastor, who's a great, he's a great teacher. I've disagreed with him on certain things, but overall, he's a fabulous teacher. And one time, he was talking about this, and he goes, if God answered all of your prayers in the positive for the last week, all of them, every single thing you prayed, it's like Jim Carrey in that movie, God's going to answer all your prayers in the affirmative, how many people would be added to the kingdom of God? God answers all your prayers for the past week, all in the affirmative, everything you asked for, how many people would be added to the kingdom of God? Meaning, are we even praying for lost people? I can't answer that question for you, and I can answer it for me, not nearly often enough. And we wonder why the world looks the way it does. This is Steve Noble and the Steve Noble Show. God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon. And like my dad always used to say, ever forward.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.